number 25A.
Yes, we were discussing the candlestick, that actually it would be perhaps more in line, in order, if you would read it from right to left, namely first from the divinely subjective objective to the divinely objective subjective standpoint. You can see it here when we go back to the word, that if we would take first the divinely subjective objective standpoint, that we would say, all right, we have to do in the science of being with what? With being, with life. And that being can only really be understood through spiritual understanding, soul, through soul sense. What do we understand through soul sense and through spiritual understanding? Then we would have the divinely objective-subjective sense, that we would say we can understand through spiritual understanding really only the unchangeable identities, and they are what they are, they constitute being, soul and life. That would be much more a standpoint from science itself. If we go to the Christ and come from the divinely subjective standpoint, we would say this in this one infinite being there is a truth. This being is truth. And that truth knows all the truths. So that truth, conscious of itself, of all the truths, would do what? It would really show forth the fact-arranging activity. That truth would take those identities of being and arrange them and order them and put them into structure, into hierarchies, into categories, and would order them and order them. When we see that, then we had the possibility of the divinely objective-subjective standpoint, namely that through that ordering, all this new combination, relationship, calculations can take place, spirit, which bring out always new results, truth, and show us new discoveries, new revelations. That would make quite good sense. So we come to the next box, mind and love. No, to love and mind. Yes, if we take it from the divinely subjective-objective standpoint, and what could we see here in science? The whole design, you feel. That would be love. And what would be mind? To the specific idea, the plan to the specific idea. Yes. Could we see perhaps even something more exciting about Christianity? Christianity is always a demonstration. Yes. The purpose of it. Yes. What would be the purpose of love when you come, you see, the purpose of love, but now mind, what does mind do?
It manifests every idea.
In fact, if you take in even the Christianity sense, then you could say that the purpose of love is really that it operates according to the laws of mind. What is that? Bringing about wonders and miracles, So it's really the healing aspect then that takes place, that says within the plan of love, everything is possible, mind. Showing that miracles and wonders are no miracles and wonders, but that there is only a perfection seen in its lawfulness. That perfection has its high laws, perfection, love, law, mind. And so here we could say that perfection operates according to law. That perfection operates according to law. So you have perfection as the divinely subjective standpoint. You go out from love, from the infinite being, within which everything is already fulfilled. And then this is objectified divinely through the laws of mind, through the manifestations of mind, as laws of mind, doing what in Christianity? Bringing about signs and wonders. So that signs and wonders are not signs and wonders, but just the higher laws of love. You can say here that
the impossible becomes possible from the point of view of the human. What we witness here is actually that the perfection of being has a solution in any case, for every situation. Love adapted to every situation. And you can see, therefore, if we now take the from the left to the right, if we take the divinely subjective first and say, yes, within that infinite reservoir of love, where everything is perfect, there is a perfect blend, that manifests itself divinely, objectives itself divinely, as the impossible happens to be possible, that the wonders happen, that there is a law, a higher law, within which everything is possible and therefore demonstrates everything. Then you can go to the other category, to the divinely objectives and subjectives, and say, then we know that every idea, that everything that happens is actually something that happens within a fulfilled plan, that it has its own perfection in a higher plane. What would we get if we go further to science of science, again to omni-action? What is here the divinely subjective standpoint? We go out from principle and have a divinely objective sense. What is the divinely objective sense that principle has of itself? You always have to ask yourself, through what does it operate? And you have the objective sense. The subjective sense is principle itself. The objective sense is always what tool, what method, what does it use in order to objectify itself. Well, principle uses what to objectify itself quite clearly. Yeah, I think so. Huh? Then at the point of science, I think principle needs a system through which to work. Therefore, principle operates according to science and system. That's the divinely subjective, objective sense. Therefore, it operates through science and system, and we can see then, if we take the candlestick from left to right, from the divinely objective, we can see that, therefore, all that there is going on within that system are actually only the ideas of principle idea working. Yes. That's this category. Let's go to the next category, which is also important. We translate now science to the human level and ask ourselves in that further category, what is the humanly scientific understanding that is necessary and in order that the divinely scientific understanding can express itself. So we ask more or less now, what can we do humanly so that it coincides with the divine, that it is not something that goes against the divine, but that even humanly, because we are still humans, are in line and synchronized, so to say, isomorphic with the divine. What kind of scientific understanding should go on within the human? It is asking what we do humanly and what effect it has humanly on us. We identify ourselves with the divine being, yes, that we could show, soul and life. We identify ourselves with the identities of being. How does that express itself in the human? In the human, perhaps we would see that fundamental fact that is always at the bottom of every Christian Science treatment, that we say, as we understand spiritually, so are we. Spiritual understanding is being. We have a human sense of it now, that we have as much being as we have spiritual understanding. Think this, can you see the tone? Soul, spiritual understanding is what? Humanly, being, small b, naturally. So in the measure as we understand spiritually, so are we. It's a great point in science that we are never anything else humanly than what we understand. Divinely, we are always the idea, no matter if we understand it or don't understand it. Can you see what we want to do here? We want to see that somehow we should be synchronized with that science order, even on a human level, in order to make that science order work within ourselves, that it demonstrates itself within ourselves. So we must have a line of procedures, so to say, a way, a method of procedure, and say, how do we arrive at it? And so the very first thing we always teach anybody would say, now, the way you think, so are you. Now, if you put science into it, you say, if you think spiritually and understand that, therefore the way you are spiritually understanding things, the way you are. You are always your own consciousness. So the very first thing is that we say to a student, you first have to understand spiritually the identities of being. So it is spiritual understanding defines what we are. Soul, life. Yes? Well, what is the next step? When we have seen the proposition, the word always gives us, so to say, the proposition and says, you know, if you understand spiritually, then you are that, what you understand. Have we gained anything at this moment? Actually, we are not different at that moment. We only know how to become different, but we are not yet different. It's just a proposition and says, if you understand spiritually, then you are a better man, and you have a better life, then you have a better existence. So the Christ comes and says, so do something about it. The Christ is always that which makes us do things and say, you can't just stay with a theory, now you have to do something. What are you going to do about it? So we come to spirit and truth. Yes? Spirit and truth. What could we say here? What we are going to do? What are we going to do with those ideas that we should understand? We practice them. How do we practice them? We take them and put them into blendings, into a calculus, into a processing. Yes? We structure these facts and we restructure these facts every time we think about being. We take other ideas and put them into other relationships. We consider these relationships, and so little by little we restructure always these facts. We are then the shaker. Now we are the shaker of the kaleidoscope, and we say, in every situation something else presents itself, therefore I take other ideas, and by blending them with other ideas I restructure these facts, and therefore in this way I arrive at new discoveries. I arrive at a new result. So what can we put here? Perhaps we could say, by restructuring facts we make new discoveries. Yes? Because here is the treatment. We say a treatment should never be according to a formula, should never be by rote. Yes? Should always be new. Every treatment should be different than the other one. We should never repeat the same treatment in the same way. See, that's the newness of it, of spirit, the newness of spirit that says, every time in my consciousness the ideas flow differently, spirit blows where it listens, that's spirit sense here. Every time the inspiration is different, something else flows into my mind and I take up another idea, and the flow is from there to again other ideas, and if I listen purely, then the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit leads and orders my thinking so that I will find the answer. So by that structuring of facts, we find new answers. That's what we do. Then we would come to mind and love in the human. Yes, how could we see this now? Here we are asked to do something very big, mind and love, that we begin to see what? Mind is always the contemplation of ideas. What about love? That we contemplate always an idea in a bigger frame of reference. That we always treat a situation in practice, not as a tiny little individual happening, but that we broaden out always and see this must be a situation and an idea and an answer that has to be found, which is right within the whole plan. I always go out to the whole. I don't treat somebody that he has intelligence to go through the examinations. If I would treat that way, it would be little, it would be mental influence and so on. I must see that the whole world is full of the knowledge of God, as the water covers the sea. I must see that. I must broaden out and see that every idea about which I'm thinking is not an idea that belongs to an individual, to a tiny little circumscribed place or setup, but that it is always an idea within the universe, within the whole. And so I always treat an idea as belonging to the whole, never to a person, to a situation, to place and time, and whatever it is. So here I begin to get the comprehensive view. Perhaps you can put it that way, that by a comprehensive view, we find new answers.
That's where ecology
comes in also, yes, yes. You can remember that this was not always the attitude in Christian Science practice, that at the beginning, really, Mrs. Eddy had to reduce science to the method of argumentation, of affirming and denial, and there you could easily see that that method was always restricted to the individual case, to the individual body, so to say. If that body was diseased, everything was directed to that little poor body, that body cannot suffer, that it cannot have pain, that it cannot be weak, and then affirmations, so always directed to a tiny little thing. Now in science we can't do that. In science we always have to deal, you see, we are a Christianity. What was the Christianity order? Always showing that every idea goes back to its principle, goes back to the universal one, that every idea has the power of the infinite one. So in dealing in science about it, you just forget that body, that person, that situation, and you look really into the realm of the real, into that universe of ideas here, and see that every idea is a universal idea and not just something that belongs to my patient and that should bless my patient. We begin to treat ideas and our bodies. I mean, if I say treat ideas, you know what I mean. You mean we work with ideas and see ideas are embedded in a universal plane of love, belonging to the whole universe. And only in this way, really, do we practice scientifically. So that Mrs. Eddy would say that every treatment has an effect, no matter if the individual feels better or not, it resounds in the universe. No treatment is lost, Gondoli used to say. No treatment is lost. If it's a right treatment, it's never lost, even if the individual patient does not react on it. That's his business also. But we must see that every treatment is a treatment within the infinite realm of being. That's the universal sense of love. Yes? So that at the point of principle, with the omni-action of principle, what do we get there? Well, if everything that is going on is only principle and principle's idea, that nothing is going on but that, then humanly, I guess we feel that this is giving us the proof. In the human we need the proof, in the divine we don't need the proof. In the divine we just have the omni-action of principle. Principle doesn't say I need a proof in the divine. It has to prove itself to somebody. But in the human understanding, that principle demonstrates itself as giving us proof. Yes. So again we have that whole column, and if we run through it again, just to get the general feel of it, we can see that this is perhaps that column that has been nearest to us up to now, though it shouldn't be nearest. Really, those first two columns should be the nearest because they are really showing signs. But as a rung on the ladder going upward, we can see that that science order would teach us four great points. It would say, look here, the very first thing you have to understand is this, that what you spirit understand, that you are. That's the proposition. You are not something, or you don't experience that what you are until you understand it spiritually. So go on and get understanding. With all you're getting, get understanding. So what we understand spiritually, so that we are life. Then we say, all right, then what do I have to understand? How on earth do I have to understand? Do I have to stand in every case something else? Yes, science never repeats itself. Being never repeats itself. So you can use all those facts, all those identities of being, all those ideas, you can use them always in a new way. Spirit. The Spirit flows where it listens. There is a flow of the Holy Ghost that always takes our spiritual sense and leads it in another way. It is the flow chart that starts in and just leads you in a flow from one point to the other. It's the Holy Ghost that does that. If we listen clear enough, if we have spiritual understanding enough, naturally that sounds through us. And thought is led in the way that is not premeditated. But it's the Holy Ghost that leads that thought and restructures these ideas, spirit, in order to bring us to a solution, to bring a new discovery to birth. So that's our way of treatment. That way of treatment says, but you must be careful that you are not going to treat a part of the whole, but that you are always going to treat the whole and not the part. A part is a restricted sense, it's limited sense, it's not science. There is no part in being. Being is always being and the whole of being. Therefore, you must have a comprehensive sense, get away from limited views, take the view of the divine mind and see that in the divine mind you are going to demonstrate being, the plane of being, love, the universe of being. Just as I have said that we should never really treat a person, and really treat a body or a business or anything like that. All what we treat is ideas in universal plane. And if we do that, then science, as science says, then we have given free rein to the principle, we have not put up any restriction and limitation to the principle, that principle can really go on the way it wants to go on, and nothing goes on but the principle, and that shows itself in the human as proof. So you have the whole category here in a beautiful way.